We've been talking about how Jesus calls us to life. He calls us to attain to righteousness. And we started out talking about Romans, the ninth chapter, beginning at verse 30 and reading down through verse 4 of chapter 10 last week. And we looked at the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles, he says in chapter 9, had attained righteousness even though they weren't pursuing righteousness. So we talked about the difference there. And then he says the Jews, they pursued righteousness and they didn't attain it. So let's see if we can't develop that a little bit more. In the 10th chapter, this is where he continues his thought. He says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, and I think the them is Israel. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to God's righteousness. And here's the point of the whole discussion. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. But let's think about this for a minute. Israel sought to establish their own righteousness. Now, it could be that Israel, ignorant of God's law, made up their own law. But I know that that's not entirely true. The Pharisees were zealous to teach the law. They kept the law, but they were trying to establish their own righteousness. What they were doing was seeking a righteousness that they could earn. A righteousness, he says in chapter 9, as if it were based on works. And we know that it's not. They were trying to earn their righteousness. And because they were trying to earn their righteousness, they didn't attain them. Now, unbelievers try to earn righteousness. Am I right? I know a lot of people who pursue righteousness. They want to be counted righteous by God, and I know that that's the case because when you preach their funeral, they want you to tell people how good they were and how they wanted to search for God. But they were trying to establish their own righteousness. On balance, they were saying, I do good works. And no doubt they did. Just like the Jews, on balance, did good works. What do believers say? I do my very best not to sin grievously as God directs. I'm not making up sin. I'm not making up the rules. I recognize the rules and I do my very best. I faithfully assemble for worship just like God directs. I visit the fatherless and the widows just like God directs. And as we talked about in class this morning, I share with those people who have less just as God directs. I do all of these things. But you know, they're trying to, when believers say that, they're trying to earn righteousness the same way an unbeliever tries to earn righteousness, the same way that the Israelites tried to earn righteousness. They're not submitting to God's righteousness. That's the problem. It's not my righteousness. It's not based on what a good job I have done in doing the good that God wants me to do. Look at Luke, the 18th chapter. In verse 9, Jesus teaches the first of two parables here in Luke 18. And he speaks this parable to certain, he's probably talking to the scribes and Pharisees at this point. He says he spoke this parable to certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now listen to the parable. Oh, and they despised others. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He trusted in himself that he was righteous. He continues. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified, counted to be righteous, rather than the other one, rather than the Pharisee. Everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. This sinner didn't trust in himself that he was righteous. He knew that he could only trust in God to make him righteous. He couldn't do it. He tells another parable beginning in the 18th verse. And I think the two parables are linked. I think he's talking about the same thing, basically, in both of these parables. Certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one. That's God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And look at what he said to Jesus. All these have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus went on. And he said, there's one more thing that you lack. Go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor. Come. Follow me. Come be my disciple. This man trusted in himself. And he was a good lawkeeper, wasn't he? He hadn't done any of those things. Now, maybe he had lied. But like Kim said in our Bible class, you know, we tend to rank sins. And he could say, I haven't committed any of those grievous things. But he was really trusting in himself. Submitting to God's righteousness. What's it mean to us? We attain God's righteousness by submission to him, not by the good that we have done. We trust his promise. We don't trust in ourselves. We trust his promise to cause us to be counted as righteous. He said that he would do it, and he will. We never expect to receive it as a debt, as it were, in exchange for all of the righteousness that we have done. Look at my life. God, you must count me as righteous. You owe that to me. We can't say that. We would never say that. He did not expect to receive this blessing of being counted as righteous as a debt. Look at what Paul said in Matthew, the fifth chapter, at verse 20. He said, I tell you, or what Jesus said in Matthew 5. He said, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Scribes and the Pharisees were the ones that counted their seeds to make sure that they gave 10% to God. How are you going to exceed that? Oh, I give 11%. I count my seeds and I give more than the Pharisees gave. I don't think that is point. Exceed can mean exceed in terms of quantity, or it can mean to exceed in terms of quality. I must exceed the righteousness of those who thought that they were earning their righteousness. That's what the publican did. He exceeded the righteousness of the Pharisee. And he was the one who was counted as righteous. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, at verse 9, the apostle says, if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed in glory. It's not quantity. It's quality. What you could get by keeping the old law, that pales in comparison to what God gives you as a gift in Jesus. And it must be that way. Why? Because like the Gentiles, we're not pursuing our own righteousness. We're pursuing Jesus. What does that mean, to pursue Jesus? It means that we put him on in baptism. That's our statement, that we want to be like you. That's the man who says, I want to be your disciple. I want it in the worst possible way, and I will put you on. I will become like you. I promise you, I will become like you. It's not my righteousness. It's because I'm like Jesus. And Jesus never deprecated behavior that was inspired that way. He never said, if you're my disciple, it doesn't matter what you do. Jesus said, if you're my disciple, you will be like me. I share. You share. I give a cup of cold water to a man who's thirsty. You would do the same. But it's because you want to be like your master. I've heard it said that the disciple of a rabbi had three goals. I've heard it said by so many people that there must be a source for this. I can't find the source. But the first thing that they said a disciple wanted to do was to be covered in the dust of his rabbi. That meant that he wanted to walk with him wherever he went. And he walked down a lot of dusty roads in Galilee, and the disciple that wanted to be with the rabbi would stay so close to him that the rabbi's dust would get all over him. That's the first thing he wanted to do. The second thing he wanted to do was to do what his rabbi did. And that probably extended to even adopting his mannerisms, his pattern of speech, the words that he used. If you wanted to be like your rabbi, you talked like your rabbi. You acted like your rabbi. And the third thing that the disciple did was he wanted to find other people to join him and to be like his rabbi. What Nathanael did to Peter. Hey, I have found the guy. Come, let me show you. And Peter did. That's what it means to be like Jesus. And Jesus never deprecated that kind of behavior because of what it was inspired by. You wanted to be like your master, not so you could earn salvation. It's pursuing God's righteousness, never our own. But we pursue God's righteousness because we want to be like Jesus. That's what we want you to think about today. We want you to attain to righteousness. Look at the rabbi. Look at the teacher, Jesus. Be like him. The first step, put him on in baptism. Accept his leadership. Make him Lord of your life. It's not just a prayer that you say. It's not just an empty statement that you make. Lord, I want you to be, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Actually put him on in baptism. Put your old man to death. And let Jesus raise you to newness of life. Become a new creature in him. And follow him. Everywhere he goes, everything he does, imitate him. You'll do the same kinds of things that somebody that's pursuing their own righteousness will do. But you do it for a totally different reason. So if there's something we can do to help you to do that, we want you to let us know. We have water prepared. You can be baptized. You can put Jesus on in baptism. Repent of sins. Confess that he's the Son of God. We'll help you do that. This morning, this afternoon, Monday night at midnight. But you make that decision, we'll help you do it. And if you lost sight of your rabbi and you got sidetracked over here and you lost this purity of pursuit, then return to him and ask for his forgiveness. You know, that's the great thing about Jesus. He's never going to say, no, you started to follow me and you quit. I don't want you anymore. He's not going to say that. He will say, come, be with me.